those of you who don't know me, my name is Peter Sawyers. My wife Rochelle, and my two beautiful girls, Jessica and Laura. That makes up our family, and then even greater than that, we have six beautiful grandchildren.
Wow.
I know I don't look old, time. It's my life who keeps me young. Because you would never say she's over 60, and no, I'm joking. Rochelle said she's staying under 60 for as long as she can, and tell me she doesn't have to make an effort to do that because she's beautiful. Right. Just a bit of background as well. Rochelle and I were privileged to go into full-time ministry in the year 2000. We were at Hatfield Christian Church in Pretoria at that stage, and through long things that happened before the time in terms of purpose, I'll share a little bit about that with you as I go along. We were so privileged to join a local church in Nakuru in Kenya, and we ministered there for just on 10 years. We went for 1 year. And you know what? When God has a hold of your life, you don't put time in a box. Amen? And the wonderful thing is that God showed us as a family so many wonderful things. We went through some very difficult things. We battled with relationships. We battled with the ministry. We battled with God concepts. We battled with many things, like we all do in life, and
yeah,
you do. But at the end of the day, can I just say that when God has a plan and a purpose for your life, He will bring it to fruition.
Amen.
No matter what the circumstances are, I can tell you, my wife can tell you as well, some of those circumstances, you are interesting and you have a very hard look at nature. Okay? But we took a scripture with us, and I'm so glad that scripture is so powerful, because it became an anchor in our hearts to a large degree. And it's Galatians 6 verse 9. Do not grow weary in doing good. For at the proper time, what time? God's time.
Yeah.
You will reap a harvest. In other words, it will come to fruition if you do not give up. And I'm getting older, not old yet, but let me tell you, I still haven't given up, and I won't give up, because I know my God, and I know what He is capable of accomplishing in our lives. We've had a great foundation. Chet's preached on a two-part series on holiness, but what a blessing that was. How many of you were here for that?
Yes.
Amen? Okay. Yeah, it just challenged our hearts so much. In terms of, you know, what are we living here for? What are we here to proclaim? How are we to live our lives? And that was such a wonderful revelation. And last week, Pastor Kubis shared on hope is an anchor. And that was such a challenging preach. I'm going to take it a step further today. And we're going to speak about purpose. And aptly, I think we're looking at the title. And I'm going to put an R in front of that. And a U. Are you hitting your bullseye? Think a bit about that. Targets are very prevalent in our lives. We have business targets. We have family targets. There's so many different things that we are aiming at in our lives.
Yeah.
Amen? I don't think there's a time that we don't aim at anything. Okay? So I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. Just to encourage your hearts. That you are not an aimless wanderer. You are not just somebody that exists, not a lone ranger, not somebody who's just floating around. But you are ordained and anointed and called by Father God.
Amen.
For His purpose.
Thank you.
And I pray this morning, as you get a glimpse of that, something will resonate through the word this morning. We're all on a journey to discover our significance, aren't we?
Yeah.
Come on. We're all in one stage of our life, sit down and we say these words. What the heck am I doing here? Who am I? Where am I going? It reminds me of a story of these, I don't know if I can tell this joke in church, but I'm going to. Don't tell the pastor. But there were these three young men, and they were party goers, and they were popcorning, and they ended up at the end of the night somewhere. In other words, they got a bit lost. Okay, they didn't know where they were. And the three of them were staggering around, and the one who didn't stagger as much as the others decided he's going to go and ask somebody where they are, because they need to get home. So they're all talking, holding on to lampposts, and deciding, what are we going to do now? And there was this big military conference next door, this big building, and all these generals were walking up and down and going to their cars. They just finished the conference. And so this guy said to his friends, don't worry, I'm going to go and ask that man. He's very important. I'm going to go and ask him. So he staggers down the road and he gets to the guy. The guy says, excuse me, sir. Do you know where we are? And this big booming general with all these medals and paraphernalia all over him towers above this guy. And he boos. Do you know who I am? This guy cowers and he staggers back to his friends. And they say, What did he say? You're in big trouble. He said, why? Well, he doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know who we are. Isn't that a dilemma that many of us face in our lives? If you think about significance, it's so true, isn't it? When you discover your purpose, when you discover your significance, you begin to discover who you really are.
Yeah.
And the second part of that is, then you'll know where you need to go. To find your way home to the place that God has called you to. We're all unique individuals. None of us are the same. But let me tell you something. Each and every one of you has a divine purpose on your life. So I want to go down that road a little bit. Can we stick up the scriptures? And Paul reminds us so aptly in this way about how we battle in our lives and what we go through. And when you go through this passage of scripture, I'm going to read it for you, Mickey, if you can pick that up for us. I think what really is important here is for you to understand that we are living in a world that's fallen and still falling.
Yeah.
Okay? This place called Earth is not in a very good place at the moment. And I'm sure that if you really think about it, you can agree with me. We're living in the end times. We are, indeed. One of the biggest things about the end times is that even the elite will be deceived. And we will be... remember, the devil's mission of coming to steal, kill, and destroy. The biggest part of that is deception.
Yeah.
And we cannot be deceived anymore. We've got to hold on to the truth, stick to the truth that God has given us through His Word, and live it out.
Yeah.
And that's when we will start seeing the chut will start moving and shaking in your life. So let's read Philippians 3, 1 to 14. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. And it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. Harsh words, eh? Okay? Those, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God,
huh?
By His Spirit, amen? Who boast in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh. I want to say that again. Christ came to set you free from the flesh and the dominance of the flesh upon your life. We're going to get to that in a while. Next passage. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, this is Paul speaking, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless.
Wow.
That's quite something to say about yourself. But, I love this. Whatever were gains to me, whatever I achieved, whatever I proclaimed, whatever I thought, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. In other words, they don't matter anymore. Somebody say they don't matter anymore. Come on.
They don't matter anymore.
The things of the past, the things that weren't so lucky in your life, they don't matter anymore. Because I want to gain Christ, that I may gain Christ, be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, not being religious, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. The righteousness, sorry, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. And the last little bit. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal. How many of you have arrived yet? There's so much we don't understand about God. There's so much that we query, and there's so much that we argue in the natural. But Paul says, I press on. Amen? I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of for me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, and this is the crux this morning, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press forward. I aim at my bullseye. I'm going to hit the center of the target. That is what it's all about. Amen. Thank God for His word. So, the first thing I want to say this morning as we consider purpose is that as Christians, God is doing one thing at this moment in time. He's calling us deeper.
Yeah.
And I really want you to hear that this morning. I want it to resonate in your heart. God hasn't called you to the shallows. God hasn't called you to the surface. God is calling you to go deep. The reason why He's calling you to go deep is He wants you to make a difference. He wants to use the life He's so beautifully created to make a difference in a fallen world. I'll never forget that that little poster that you see in history journals and things. Remember that American guy with all the stars and things, and he's pointing his finger, and he said, "America needs you." And I believe God is doing that through His Spirit. He's calling you and me. He says, "I need you. I've called you to make a difference in this world." So my question to you this morning is, what are you aiming at? You know, a target is wonderful. If you look at that target there, it's got the outer circle, and it's got the blue and the red and the yellow there in the middle. Those ones matter a bit more than the outer circle, right?
Yeah.
How many of you have done archery? Put up your hands. Where are all the archers? Yeah, how many of you have thrown darts at the board? Okay. Some of us, you know, can actually play darts, and others are just fluke and they're lucky. And they hit the middle every now and then, hey bro. Amen. So my question to you is that in your spiritual walk, where are you aiming on the target? Are you just, you know, are you happy and content to get those lower points around the outer side? You're floating along, you go to church, you read your Bible every now and then, you know that God has a calling upon your life, and you keep saying, "Yes, one day, Lord, show me. I'm trusting you. I'm hoping in you." Okay. But at the end of the day, you're not hitting the bullseye. You might play it safe and, you know, hit the red one every now and then. Wow, I'm close. You go to a conference and you get filled with the Holy Spirit and God moves in your life, and you get to work and you see somebody saved and you get excited and yes, God's doing something, and then all of a sudden something goes wrong. And you're down again. And you've missed your bullseye. And you think, "Oh no, mate, I've got to aim again." Yes, you've got to aim again. Because there's always something that God is calling you to aim at. And sometimes we miss the target. Okay, we do. But God wants you to hit the bullseye. God wants you to hit that sweet spot, that cherry. Like, Amen. Psalm 90, verse 12. This is Moses, according to David, crying out. And he says to God, teach us to make the most of our time and make our efforts successful. Come on. Yes. And it's repeated. Make our efforts successful. They didn't have bold type in the Greek at that stage, so they repeated themselves. Okay? Teach us to make the most of our time and make our efforts successful. Yes, make my aim yield the bullseye.
Thank you.
Amen. See, we all want to live our lives in a way that it counts. Come on, who's not living their lives just for the sake of living it? We want our lives to matter.
No.
Amen. We want significance in our lives. A, for us to feel that we're worth something to a degree. Secondly, to know that we belong to God. And thirdly, that we can make a difference in the lives of others. Yes, Lord, we want to make our efforts successful. You and I, we were created to hit our level. Come on, somebody say amen to that. You were created not to hit the outer target, you were created to hit the bullseye. God wants the best for your life. God wants to use you mightily. And he's going to. Let's go to the next slide. Okay. So the way I want to do that, can you see I'm into targets at the moment? There's another target there. Alright? But the reason why I'm bringing this up for you this morning is to understand, you know, how you have been created. Because you're not just a beautiful lady and a handsome oak running around in your body. There's a lot more to it. Okay? I love that scripture that says that we, in Psalm 139, we are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
Some of us are just more fearfully made than others. at the end of the day, God has created you with a divine purpose. Let's have a look at that this morning by using this target. Can you see the bodies on the outside?
Yeah.
The soul is there, and then the spirit is that bullseye in the middle there. Okay? And the wonderful thing about this is to understand how you've been made. How have we been created? Who wants to tell me this morning? We have been made in the image of God. In the image of God. Amen? Wow. So look at that a little bit. What is God? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity, three in one, triunal, working together. Amen?
Amen.
And I think when we lose sight of that, what happens is we don't quite understand that God wants to use every part of you to work together to his glory. So when you have a look at Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's what's God's divine design for man. But we're in his image. He's three in one. We are three in one. We tripartite, natured man and woman. And when you look at that, and in terms of what God intends for you and me, he's given us a spirit. That's the target that's there in the middle. Do you want to go to the next slide? We can just keep that in focus. We were all created with three parts. I want you to listen to the scripture. This is powerful. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. The WH one. Okay? Being whole. And may your spirit and soul and body, may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How's that for a bizarre church? God wants your soul, your spirit, and your body to be in unity. You know, before you were saved, and those of you who don't know Jesus, what happens? Where's your spirit? Your body, okay? Your soul is contained in your body, and your spirit is contained in your soul. What is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your ability to think, your ability to decide and to choose. And when we do the right things, the right emotions follow. God has put things in you to feel. You know, your body is led by your five senses, right? If you think about it. And your soul is that part of you that when Jesus comes in and the Holy Spirit regenerates you and changes you and you're born again, your soul becomes alive.
Amen.
And what happens is, church, all the time, if you think about it, what's leading you if you're not saved? It's your body, right? That outer bit is looking at everything through the senses and feeling and smelling and everything. And wow, you go after the world. Because what is your body? What is your earth suit? You can't exist in this world as a spiritual person alone. God's housed you in a beautiful body.
Amen.
For a purpose. And the wonderful thing about knowing that is when you allow the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide your life, it invades the soul, and the soul is then able, like the indicators, to turn and direct the body to where it should go. The mind is set on the things of Christ. You're making choices based on the Word of God, and your emotions are filled with peace and joy and goodness. That's the God-intended target for your life. Isn't that exciting? Let's go to the next slide. So, to cut a long story short, church, what is God's bullseye for us as human beings? What does God put in our hearts? Well, the first thing He's put in us is eternity.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Alright? So if you're aiming at temporal things, if you just say, oh, I'm just existing, I'm floating along, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that in my life, I'm going to get a good job, and I'll maybe stay in that job, and maybe one day I'll get married, and you've got all these things that's going around in your mind, you're hitting that out of target, church. You need to go to the center of what God is calling you to and say, God, what is my purpose? And you have a wonderful purpose. And you know what that is? God's bullseye for us is that we would contain and express Him. Isn't that wonderful? God's bullseye for us is that we would contain and express Him. What does that mean? It lines up with the threefold purpose that God has on your life. Do you know what your ultimate purpose is? What the Word calls us to? Three main things. We'll go through it quickly. The first purpose that you have is to exalt and to praise God. To lift His name on high. Ephesians 1 verse 12. We are here to glorify God and to know Him intimately. We sang about that this morning, meeting His presence. Your first purpose is to give God worship. Why? Because God so loved you that He gave His only Son. Whoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God's called you to eternity. God wants you to understand that He is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be exalted. He's the one we look to. He's the one that we adore. And the more you do that, the more you're going to align yourself to your bullseye. And the more you're going to be able to hit the target. Second one, the edification and the building up of the saints. To equip God's people. That's why we have ministry. That's why we have small groups. That's why we have you sharing your testimony with others. Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 14, talks about your role as a Christian, helping to equip the saints. We all work together in the body of Christ. Through what? Through the unique gifts and talents that God has called you. The fivefold ministry, some of you called to be pastors, evangelists, teachers. But deep down in your heart, you know what God has called you to.
Amen.
And why? Because there's a stirring. There's a stirring deep down inside that comes from your spirit that says, I want you to do this. God speaks to your heart and leads and guides you in a certain way. And the last one is, and we all know Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Evangelize the world. Go ye therefore into all the world, preaching the good news, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then I love this end part. We know, always read, and lo, I am with you always. God's presence is continually with you and guiding you to where you need to go. I love Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, because this aligns up with your aim. Because if you think about your soul being restored, it is well with my soul, it's because we're serving Jesus.
Yeah.
And we're loving Jesus. And we're holding on to the promises through the Word of God that Jesus has given us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, people are watching our lives. There's people there looking and measuring. But that's their problem, because we need to measure our standard to God. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance that race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on the bullseye, on the prize. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. For the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorned its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. What is the joy set before you this morning? What is God's plan and purpose for your life? What are you aligning yourself up with? What are you aiming at this morning? Can we go to the next slide? So the question is, what are you aiming at? I want to tell you this little story quickly. This 10-year-old boy got a bow and arrow for his birthday. Very excited. Proper bow and arrow. Proper, you know, points that can shoot dogs and all kinds of things that a lot of naughty boys do sometimes. But he was a good boy. So he went into the backyard with his 12 arrows and his bow, and Dad was busy in the house. And after about 15-20 minutes, he comes back outside to go and have a look at his son now with his bow and arrow. As he walks out to the back garden, his mouth just drops. Because here are these 12 arrows, okay, pinpointed in all the trees in the garden. There were 12 big trees in the garden. And there the arrow was in the middle of the target. Every single time. Every target, the arrow was in the bullseye. And the dad said, sure. They said, he had the moment. What has he been doing that I don't know about? You know, how come his aim is so good? So he says to his son, he says, well, boy, how come your arrows hit the bullseye every time? He says, no, it's easy, Dad. You see, I just aimed at the tree, and then I go with my paint, and I paint at the target. I know we're laughing, but isn't that so true about our own lives?
Yeah.
Come on. Instead of aiming for the targets of life, the calling upon your life, the plans and the purpose that God has for you, we just draw circles around our own lifestyles and we call it a bullseye. I've hit the target. I'm here. No, there's so much more for your life. God wants to call you deeper. What should we do? We should strive to live out, like Paul says, strain forward, to live out the truth of the word without compromise. Let me just tell you, the Bible works, church. The Bible is full of truth. The Bible is full of wonderful promises. And if you just put them around your life will change. You see, when we do this, we know where to aim in our lives. We know where our target is, we know where our bullseye is. As Christians, we should stand for what is right. It's time for you to stop compromising. It's time for you to stop procrastinating. And it's time for you to make a stand. And say, I'm saved. I'm born again. I love Jesus. And I know he's got a plan for my life. You see, I believe if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Can I say that again? If you don't stand for the truth, you'll fall for the lie. If there's one thing we need as a church today, we need the truth to set us free from this bondage we find ourselves in, and this warbul, I love that Afrikaans word, that we come into day after day in the confusion that hits us. Again, back to Philippians 3 verse 14, we need to aim for our bullseye. Paul didn't say that we should aim at just anything. He said, I press towards the mark, and I aim for my bullseye. What are you doing this morning? Are you aiming at the right target? Are you aiming at the design? So, I want to look at the essence. I just want to make sure I'm on track. Is that, how do you know if you're hitting your bullseye or not? How do you know that you are on track? You see, we all as Christians, we should be living in God's purpose for our lives. You know, as I said in Matthew 8:28, he works everything to the good to those who love him. How many of you have been through stuff And you just don't know how you're going to come out of it, and yet God makes a way where there seems to be no way. And He works in a way that you look back and you say, how did that happen? And in that instant, as you hit that bullseye, your faith grows. Say, wow, if I can do this, I can aim for the next thing and the next thing. God wants to fulfill His purpose in your life. But it's dependent upon one thing, the decisions and the choices that you make. What decisions are you making about your life? What choices in your lifestyle are you making? So let's go to the seven things, seven signs that we are not hitting the bullseye. I'm not here to condemn you this morning. I'm not here to knock you over the head. But I'm here just to encourage your heart, to say to you, and I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony as I go through this, but the first sign that is so obvious that we're not hitting the bullseye is that we're not serious about our relationship with God. We're not living in God's Word. We have more sin in our lives than we have victory. The more we've been suppressed rather than overcoming. And your life is aimless and empty. If you find yourself in that place this morning, know that God wants you to redirect your aim. God will give you everything you need to get there. Second thing, you have no vision. You don't recognize God's plan. Bible says, without vision, people perish. Vision is there to excite you and to enthuse you and to say, yes, I have a purpose in my life. I can't remember the exact date. I went into the ministry in the year 2000. It was probably, yes, it was 9 years before that, one morning. I was in a good place with God. I was aiming good. And I went into the kitchen. I started praising God and worshiping God. God brought me back to the Word. I read the Scripture and it excited me. And the next minute, God gave me the most vivid and the most awesome vision of the sheep pen opening. And it was here in Africa, in Pretoria, where we were living at the time. The gate opened and I saw the road going up into Africa and stopped around East Africa. And God's Word still ring clear to this day. Called you into the mission field. And then I saw a signboard and hands, little hands. And God said, I've called you to minister to young people and to make a difference in their lives. I'm sorry if I do get a bit teary this morning. When I think of purpose, I could have so easily given up and said, it was just a vision. In fact, I nearly did give up because it wasn't my wife's vision at that time. And she said, what are you doing? I said, I don't know, but this is God. And as a good Christian, I went to my cell leader, I went to my pastor, I said, this is what God showed me. And all they said was, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep focusing on your relationship with Him. God will do the rest. So I took hold of that vision for my life. Okay, next point. You have a complaining spirit, always feeling unfulfilled. How many of you complain? Anybody? Oh God, it's not working out. Why? I went to church every Sunday. I had my quiet times every day. God, why?
And we go and we go and we complain.
It reminds me of the Israelites, right?
Yep.
Okay? Do you know that they took how many years? 40. Was it 40 years? Do you know how long that journey was? 11 days. Can you imagine? Just the doorman said that murder that out. Come on, man. And to me, there's your direction, God. But because they complained and moaned and groaned, God couldn't fulfill the plan for their lives because they lost track of their bullseye and they went wayward. Man, and I think of my own life, you know. That vision I got was in 1991. I was so excited. I thought I was going to the mission field at the end of the year. I got ready and I wanted to do a local mission. And I went with this group of people in an old BMW all the way from Pretoria to Kafue in Zambia. Imagine going on a mission trip in a BMW. Yes, I did that. Yes, it was crumpet. It was horrible. And I'm telling you, that first mission trip that I did changed my life.
because it was in line with the vision that God had given me, and I knew, but this is what God has called me to, and I got excited. But then, you know, life happens. So I start complaining, God, why isn't it happening? It's taking too long. You know, 5-6 years on. Guys, it took 9 years. It took 9 years before God released us as a family amidst difficult circumstances and things that I won't get into now. But God did it. I didn't have to do it. But what did I have to do? I had to stop moaning and complaining and say to God, I want it this way. Why isn't it happening like that? Sound familiar?
No.
Come on.
Amen.
Next one. You're feeling stuck, stagnant, and your life is mediocre. Why do you think that happens? Think a little bit about it. What are you doing that's causing you to be stuck? Probably nothing. Sorry to be so blunt. But you know, a stream that's not stagnant is moving. There's life in that stream. And I want to encourage you this morning. Okay, maybe you're not hitting the bullseye because your life is not moving. It's just stagnant and you haven't really come to that place where you've been desperate enough for His presence and says, God, I want more of You. I want to go deeper with You. Don't live a mediocre life. God's got so much more for you. Next point. This is a big one. Okay? You've lost your direction. And you've become aimless. You've had a vision. You've had a dream. And stuff has just happened and gotten in the way. You've had an aim. And you just think that aim doesn't matter anymore. It's not going to happen. Galatians 6 verse 9. Don't give up. Don't grow weary in trusting God for your vision. And for the plans and the purposes. And the dreams that He's put in your heart. Next one, here is no fruit in your life and little evidence of faith. Our church, we've been called to bear fruit. As you live your life in the Spirit, God starts to fill you more and more with the fruits of the Spirit. And your soul is being restored and renewed. And your body, the outwardness of you is just so beautiful. And people take note and they can see there's a difference in your life. That's when you've hit the bullseye. But because there's very little fruit in our lives and there's little evidence of faith, I want to ask you right now, this is a challenge, I want to ask you, what are you trusting God for in this moment? What's your faith levels like right now? Are you aiming at the outer ring? Are you aiming at your bullseye? Come on. Think about that this morning. And then lastly, this is quite a big one. You're aiming at the wrong target. And you're getting nowhere. How many of you feel at the moment that you're aiming at the wrong target? What does that mean? It means you're aiming somewhere. Praise God. That's good. You might even hit the bullseye. But in the wrong way. Your focus might be taken away from where God wants to take you. And you're hitting something that's not in God's purpose and plan for your life. That's sad. It reminds me, there was a guy called Matt Emmons in the 2004 50-meter rifle shot final round. And he was poised to win the gold medal. And he was far ahead of all the other competitors. And he eased off a little bit, you know, and took aim. And he hit the bullseye. And the ball, you know, there's all different signs that come up on the board and something, and it showed that he got zero. Hit the bullseye on the wrong target. That's a true story.
Sure.
He, instead of hitting lane two, he hit lane three. He went from winning gold to eighth place. No medals. And the funny thing is he came back a couple of years later and he nearly made the same mistake again. Which is quite funny in a way. But are you aiming at the right target, church? Are you getting somewhere and trusting God for where He wants to take you? The good news, 7 signs that you're hitting the bullseye are merely there. You're living your life in such a way that you're trusting God and you go to Him in prayer and you ask for wisdom You don't just say, oh, it's a good idea. You say, God, show me. Give me purpose, Lord, in what you've called me to. You prayerful warrior. You don't worry about things. Warriors. You are a dynamic. You're a prayer warrior. You're on your knees and you're standing and proclaiming God's purpose upon your life. Next one. You're digging into God's word and you're seeking for direction. There's a difference between reading the word and consuming the word. You can read the word till you're blue in the face, but you need to take it in church. Next point. You're aligning yourself with your gifts and your strengths. God has put unique gifts and talents within you. And that's where your purpose needs to be aligned. Don't go and try and do something that's not in line with what God has gifted you with. Next one. You have determined your passion and your dreams. What are you passionate about? Where are your dreams? I dreamt about going to the mission field. I had a passion for wanting to make a difference. And I didn't stop visualizing that. I didn't stop at just, oh, it's going to happen one day. I knew that I had to keep going for it to happen. The next point. Are you dreaming? Are you passionate? Are you surrounding yourself with godly and upright people? That's a big one. Because you can miss the bullseye just like that by spending time with the wrong people, getting sucked in to a lifestyle that's not of God. Are people that are passionate about God rubbing off on you? Are people who have got purpose walking alongside you? Man, I'm telling you, before I went to the mission field, I got behind missionaries. I'm telling you, and I wanted to know about the mission field. I went into missions with a man by the name of Pastor Paul Bierkman. He was an amazing guy. He was a children's pastor, but he had a heart for missions. And I went with him. I learned so much on two mission trips from that man. And he ignited my heart. And he gave me such a sense of purpose as he taught me how to stay focused. And then the next one. You continually sow seeds into your vision and passion. You know, I so badly wanted to go into the mission field and nothing was happening. And one day God said to me, what are you sowing? I said, I don't understand, God, what do you mean? He said, sow into the lives of missionaries. Start giving. I didn't have a lot of money at that stage, so I thought, well, I can't sow, and I just about can pay my tithes. And what about the rest? And God said, no, that's what I'm talking about. You know what I ended up doing? Every single missionary from our church that went on a trip, I would take them to the airport. Ask my wife. I would say to them, what do you need? Can I pack you something? I took them to the airport. I picked them up. I sowed seeds. I started to visualize. I started to say, I can do this because God has called me to this. I don't know how many times I took people to the airport. And in the 10 years we were in the mission field, that was given back to us tenfold. Why the people did the same for us. Isn't that exciting? And then the last one. I want to end here. Take time to be still. And know that He is God. Take some time out. Go away. Just you for a day. Block a day out of your calendar. I know it's hard when you're at work. But sometimes God stirs your heart so much. I'll never forget, I was in a job that was going nowhere in the middle of all of this. And I was crying out to God just about every day. You can ask Rochelle, I used to pull over on the highway there at Centurion where I used to work. And I couldn't see because I was crying so much. I said, God, why? Isn't there breakthrough? God, why? And nothing happened. But there came a time where I just couldn't anymore. Really, Galatians 6 verse 9 wasn't enough. I needed more. I needed to know that God was in this. And eventually I came to a place where I had to just say, God, I need to have the faith to trust you and believe you that you're going to make this happen. 2 years before God released us into the mission field, I was in a corporate job. I was doing really well. And God put in my heart, I don't want you to go the corporate route. I don't want you to do the MBA. The company was going to pay for me to do an MBA. And I went to my boss and said, I can't do this. I can't. They demoted me, sidelined me, call it what you like. And for a year, I worked under a man. man that was going in a different direction to me. But I served him, I was faithful. And when I couldn't anymore, I went to my boss and I said, I can't do this. He says, it's fine, you go, we'll pay you for 3 months, you've been faithful to us for 10 years. Go. That was the Friday, I couldn't anymore, I cried, got home and said to Rashad, I'm sorry I had to do this, but I know God's got this. Sunday in church, I was in human resources, Sunday in church, the administrator stands up and he says, we're looking for an HR manager to run things in the church. My ears didn't prick up, my heart just started leaping and leaping and leaping because I knew God's busy now. He's starting to shake loose. I got that job. I worked in that job for 2 years. During those 2 years that I was there serving faithfully, a missionary from Kenya, a great pastor from Kenya, came for a conference. I met him. The rest was history. I ended up working in his church, in the mission field, in Kenya. My dream, my target. And I think back, all those years, I'm still standing. I'm still serving, different capacity maybe. I'm still eating my bullseye. Why? Because God is using me in a threefold ministry way to make a difference. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you feel, God wants to use you. I encourage you this morning. You can eat your bullseye. You can hit the target, but there's one thing you've got to do. You've got to pray now. You've got to trust God with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Knowledge that is in everything. And he will make your path straight. Bring that alignment and you'll hit your bullseye. Why don't you trust God with me this morning as I pray for your vision, for your goals, and your purpose.